Over the past few weeks, we've started a series on creativity, slightly odd series. It's not something we normally talk about. We've called it Created to Create, as you can see from the slide behind. A thing for me that's kind of evolved a lot over the last 20 years, which I think shows us where society is at, where culture is at, is the camera. I don't know, some of you might not remember film cameras, and I'm sure there's people here who can remember black and white film cameras. But something that's evolved a lot over the last few years is the camera. I remember my sixth-year holiday, which was only a few years ago. I remember being away with some friends, and one of the girls on the holiday always wanted herself to be in her pictures. I know that sounds strange now, but normally when you go on holidays, you take the pictures. You're the person taking the pictures of the things that you see. But she always wanted to be in the pictures. Now, we used to just kind of, like, she used to stand there and we used to kind of just move the camera slightly so she wasn't in it. And because there were film cameras, you only found out 6 months later is that she wasn't in any of her pictures. Well, that's changed completely over the past 15, 20 years. I remember when I got my first iPhone, I don't think it even had a camera on the front. I know that's hard to believe now, but phones now have a camera on the front, as most of you are probably aware. There's an obsession with selfies. I don't know, I noticed on my phone there's actually an album entitled Selfies. So anything you take with the front camera goes into selfies. I'd say this, I wonder how many pictures you have in your selfie category. But people are obsessed with themselves. People want to be in their own pictures. This is the most ridiculous picture I think I've seen on the internet. Just sums it up completely. But I think a lot of the time we create images of ourselves that aren't real. We take pictures. I would imagine they took 50 pictures to get the right one. And we only show our best photos online, kind of the highlight reel of our lives. And then we also exaggerate some of the photos. So we don't show pictures of our holidays. We show the ones of us sitting on the beach in the sun. We don't show the pictures of us when it's rained and we just killed each other that day and everyone's fought. And I think one of the most ridiculous things that I just came across was on the app store on the phone, it shows you the top kind of 10 apps. And the top one, the number four, I think it was a selfie app, an app that you can download, you pay for. Some of you might have it, so I don't want to embarrass you. But not only can you take a picture of yourself, but now you can take a picture of yourself and touch it up. So you can look better. You can look better than you actually do. So I have a picture of myself here, and then I touched it up. So first of all, it's a picture of me, and then the picture to the right is after I touched it up. I don't know if it's touched up for the better or for the worse. That's Peter Rigney, for those of you who don't know him. But there's an app now that you can alter what you look like, show your fake self. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at creativity. The first week, we looked at God being creator, that God created the world. We watched a video of some images of the world, mountains and rivers and lakes. And we also looked at God making us, that he made us in his image, but also that we are being transformed more into his image as we go. And last week, we had a panel of three people who talked about creativity. I wasn't in for that. I was upstairs, and it's on the website if you'd like to listen to it. Three people talked about what it meant for them to be creative and what creativity was for them. This week, I want us to look at what it means for us to be creative. I want to consider two passages in the Bible, both in the Old Testament, that talk about creativity. But I want to show that creativity isn't always good. We can create for bad as well. So first 2 weeks was looking at God as creator, last week about people being creative, and this week a bit about kind of we can create for good, create for bad, and the next 2 weeks we're going to do slightly more creative stuff. I think the selfie and our concern with ourselves has stolen the limelight and taken us off God. And I think this happens in the Bible. People in the Bible didn't have... It's quite disconcerting that there's a picture of myself on the screen the whole time. There's people in the Bible who didn't have front-facing phones, but they did do selfies in various other ways. And I want to look at some of those. But what is positive creativity and what's negative creativity? Is there such a thing? What's the difference between creating for good and creating for bad? because the word selfie's around, I want to suggest a new word. Instead of selfies, I want us to think about him selfie. Sorry, it was really difficult to come up with something that was vaguely good. So rather than thinking about ourselves, it's thinking about God, essentially what I'm saying. And I think when we talk about good creativity and bad creativity, it's not saying like you're a good painter and I'm a bad painter, although that possibly is true. It's much deeper than that. It's much more in our soul. It's much more significant for us. So I want to start with Genesis 2 and 3. If you have a Bible, you can open it or turn it on. But there's a part right in the beginning of the Bible, we see God creates the world in Genesis 1, and then he makes Adam. And at this point, the world shifts from a focus on God, which Adam and Eve had at the start, to a focus on themselves. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, verse 19 and 20, it talks about God interacting with Adam. And it says this, probably the first sign of God asking humanity to help create. It says, "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field." So God asks Adam to create with him, alongside him. So what I thought we might do, this is a very difficult thing to do, but I'm hoping there's some creative people in it. I've got pictures of animals that do exist that you'll know the names of. Well, you might know the names of most of them. And I want you to come up with a creative name for this animal, okay? So first animal. So it can't be parrot or macaw or anything like that. You have to come up with a creative name for that animal. Any thoughts?
Rainbird.
Very good.
Rainbow bird.
Working together and creative. Very good.
Now you see me, now you don't.
Now you see me, now you don't. Very good. Bird. Very good.
I ran out of red.
What is it?
I ran out of red.
Very good. Anyone got a word that doesn't even exist in English for it?
Birdie McBirdface.
Very good. Okay. Next one. That was a slightly easier one. This. What about the next one?
Spiky.
Prickly. Prickly. Sprikel.
Well, it's
very good. Snorter.
Quinn.
What did you say, Fiona?
Scratch ball.
Very good. Okay, and the last one here. Some of you might know what this is.
Ouch.
It's the deep water fish. Anyone know what the real name is?
Anglerfish,
yeah. So the idea is that this thing on his head hangs over in front of him and it lights up and the prey come to it and he's in the dark and then he grabs the fish. It's in Finding Nemo. That's how I get my nature facts. Anyone got a name for that?
Jaws.
Spiky
again.
Shuttlecock. Very good. Okay, very good. So some random names. It's quite hard to come up with a new name, a new thing, because most of you've all used English words already. So there's nothing particularly new in that. But God asks Adam to create. Invites Adam into a relationship with him and asks him to create with him. An intimate picture of God and Adam creating together. Adam responding to God's invitation. This goes wrong, however. If you've read the Bible, you may be aware of this. And it's not because the woman came along. But in the space of a few words, a few verses, the picture goes from perfection to destruction. A certain choice, a selfish decision, ruins the picture of co-creation, of this intimacy that God and Adam and Eve have together, between man and God. Adam and Eve both eat from a tree that God has told them not to eat from. And there's consequences for their actions. They are ultimately banished from the Garden of Eden and separated from God. And the intimate relationship that God has with Adam and Eve as he walks with them is destroyed. They no longer live where all is provided for them. You can go on to the next slide there. Thanks, Ev. They're expelled from the garden. But why do they eat the apple? Like, they're told not to eat the apple from the tree. You see, people don't always conceive ideas or make choices that please God. Man is selfish and self-seeking. Adam and Eve are walking past the tree, and in verse 5, it says that the serpent says, "Eat this, eat the apple." And he says, "You will become like him. You will be like God." And deep down, this is probably what we all secretly desire, to be in charge, to have full control, to know everything and dominate the world around us. We want power, we want strength, we want knowledge. We don't want to obey God, we want to be God. We think if we are God, then life would be better. But it's not true. Unfortunately, we can't handle the power or the responsibility. And you might think that you can blame Adam and Eve. But if Adam and Eve hadn't eaten the tree, the apple from that tree, then we would have. And we do. Adam goes from responding to God's invitation to create and be in an intimate relationship, a good relationship with God. And he's not happy co-creating or being in just that relationship. He wants to be God. And with that comes an ability to create for bad. And we see this in how Adam and Eve respond to what they've done after they've disobeyed God. Firstly, they realize they're naked, and this becomes a problem. But a few verses earlier, it says that Adam and Eve were naked and were never neither ashamed or embarrassed. But now they hide from the Lord. They create a way out. And a God who is all-seeing and all-knowing is possibly the worst person to play hide-and-seek with. But he finds them and he asks, "Why are you hiding?" They respond and say that they are naked and afraid, so they hid. And then they start creating excuses and attributing blame. The man blames the woman, and the woman blames the serpent. And once we start trying to be God, then we start creating for bad. Once we put self ahead of God, then we serve self. We make decisions that suit us and damage those around us and our relationship with God. And Genesis 2 is only the start of self-creating, creating situations and manipulating people for our own good. And it's demonstrated by many characters in the Bible. A few books later, in 2 Samuel, we read about David. A chosen, anointed king, a great king, a loyal, respected king, a man who is after God's own heart, it says. But something happened. Instead of seeking after God's heart, he started prioritizing his own heart and serving his own heart. Self became more important than God. He does something that satisfies him. He creates a situation that causes problems. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, David sends an army out to war. And it'd be usual for the king to lead the army, but instead we see David staying at home. One evening he gets up from his bed and goes walking on the roof, which presumably is slightly more normal back then than it is now. And he sees a woman bathing. And it says she was beautiful. And instead of David ignoring, he acts on his desires. His self-fulfilling ideas. He sends someone to find out about her. He starts to conceive a plan and manipulate a situation for his own gain. He's no regard for others, Bathsheba or Bathsheba's husband, and he uses his power and influence to create a situation that gratifies him, so he sends for her. They sleep together, and she becomes pregnant. And instead of leaving it there, instead of David trying to sort it out from that point on, he makes more plans, creates more ways to try and get out of what he's got himself into. He sends for her husband, who's out fighting the war, and brings him back, pretending that he just wants to find out about the war. His hope is that he will sleep with his wife and the pregnancy can be covered up. But Uriah, who's Bathsheba's husband, doesn't do what David hoped for, and he gives an honest, noble answer that demonstrates his dedication to the king, to David, and loyalty also to the army he leads. He says, "I'm not going to go back to my wife or spend time with my wife when my army don't have that luxury." So he sleeps outside the house. So this part doesn't work for David. But David gets further into contriving his plan. He calls Uriah to the palace and gets him drunk, again in the hope that he'll return home to Bathsheba. But unfortunately for David, Uriah doesn't go home to his wife, and David is still in trouble. And he gets even more creative, scarily creative. David sends Uriah back to the front line, but sends a note with him that means he's essentially condemned to death. The note tells the army to put Uriah out in the front line to retreat so that he might be killed, and he is killed. David continues to conceive and create in the hope that he can control a situation, that he might be able to create a way out without regard to those around him. He wants to be God. We do this. Maybe we haven't had someone killed, or we haven't eaten an apple after being prompted by a talking snake, but we've manipulated and worked situations to choose to suit us. We may not have encountered a serpent, but we've listened to our selfish self, or have allowed others to influence us, others who don't have good in mind. We may not have had someone deliberately killed. We've considered others' feelings, situations, and lives secondary to ours and have manipulated people for our own personal gain. Being creative is not just painting or singing. Creativity is far more than that. We are creative in how we live our lives, the decisions we make, and the things that we do. We can either create a life that puts God first, or we can create a life that puts self first. In a book called The Artisan Soul, the author says, the most important work of art is the life we create. He calls us to reclaim our creative essence, to craft our lives into a work of art worthy of our maker, reflecting his love and enticing others to him, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us. Last week, we heard from the panel, three different people. Mark is a musician. He does other stuff as well, but he is a musician. And for Mark can create music that glorifies God, or he can sing and stand up here and play music that glorifies himself. He can sing his heart out to God, or he can do it to perform to the audience. And sometimes it's difficult for us to know the difference. But Mark has a choice. Heather is an artist and illustrator. She's creative. And for Heather, her faith impacts how she creates. Her relationship with her father drives her art. But she could just do it for money or self-promotion. Karen, who shared last week as well, is a great person for creating community, demonstrating hospitality and openness and love, bringing people together in fellowship, furthering God's kingdom. But Karen could also create community that serves her, community that makes her feel good or important or elevates her status. So each one of us creates, but the source of our creativity and the focus of our creativity is the important thing. As believers, everything we create must flow from the Creator and point back to him. We are not the focus. Jesus is at the center. It wasn't all fruitless for David and Adam and Eve. This is because God isn't a distant, punishing God wanting us, waiting for us to step out of line. From the moment Adam and Eve ate the apple and David planned his escape, God was at work. All through the Old Testament, God creates ways for people to come back to him, for people to regain the intimacy that Adam and Eve had with him. But ultimately, God creates the way for each one of us who've gone astray to be back in that relationship where we coexist and co-create. Jesus is the way back. We're never going to discover or create a way back to God. We can try to invent a path to righteousness. We can build golden calves, sacrifice defenseless animals, try harder, become religious or ritualistic in our pursuit of God. And we can make every effort to try and get back there, but we can't do it. We can't create a way out of the stuff that entangles us and holds us back. It is the Creator who creates the way. It's the Creator of the world that sends His own Son to rescue the people who have served themselves. I think we respond to God, or maybe we live our lives in two different ways, and I think it's probably a generational thing. We can either be self-loathing or self-worshipping. Self-loathing are people who don't see themselves as worthy, who've been told for a long time just to fit in line. And then we have a much younger generation of people who see themselves as entitled, who are the people who take the selfies, who do the self-worship. And neither are a way back to God. We're not going to do it by putting ourselves down, and we're not going to do it by promoting ourselves. It's not about us and our performance, whether that's a good performance or a bad performance. And all we have to do is turn back, recognize our lostness. And David, when he's exposed for what he's done, responds with, I have sinned against God. When the prodigal son returns after creating a mess of his life and his relationship with his dad, it's the father who embraces him. The father creates the way back. The father brings him back in. We are creative. We are amazing humans. You may see videos on YouTube of people doing amazing things in sports. We have an opportunity. We are responsible with the Holy Spirit to create and shape our lives. Every day we have choices and decisions to make. And we either choose self or we choose God. We either choose to be obsessed with selfies or obsessed with Himselfies. But every day we fail. Every day we make mistakes. And every day there's a way back. Every point in our lives is another opportunity for us to turn back, to be embraced by the Creator of the universe. God longs to come near to us, to be embraced, to be loved, to be welcomed back. And it's at this point of security and abandonment that we create, creating out of and a response to our relationship with the Creator. Everything we create must flow from the Creator and point back to Him. So the question about creativity isn't if we are creative. We all are creative in various different ways. But the important question is, what's the source and the object of your creativity? What motivates you and inspires you? And who do you do it for the glory of? Father, sometimes when we reflect on our lives, or we reflect on our weeks or even the day we've had so far, we see all the things we've done wrong. We see the places and ways that we've created and promoted ourselves, looked out for us first. And Father, no matter how hard we try or how much we do to try and get back into that relationship, we're not able. But Father, we see all the way through the Bible, through the Old Testament, the New Testament, and even in church history, we see You creating ways for people to come back to You. We see You pursuing people, longing for them, for us to be in relationship with You. And Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for that way that You create for us to be in relationship with You. And Father, may we be like David and admit we've done something wrong. May we be like the prodigal son who returns to the father, ready to say sorry. And Father, may we embrace You, because with You we're nothing else. And Father, out of that relationship, may we create, may we love others, may we love our family, our friends, and this community. May we love the world. May we share the good news with people. because you are the God who created this world and you are the God who's created a way back home. Amen.